One of the things that, as I read the Word of God, one of the things that I just love about the Word, and one of the themes that I see in the Word of God, is the power of the Word and the power of the spoken Word, the words that we speak. And we often forget that there is power in the words that we speak. We're sometimes almost irresponsible with the things that we say and the things that we speak. We know that God created all things. You go back to the Genesis account and you see that God created all things. He spoke them into existence. This is the power of the spoken word. He speaks things into existence. We know from the Word of God, from Proverbs, that the power of life and death is in the tongue. So those things we speak, we have the power to speak life. We can either speak life or we can speak death. And we eat the fruit of what we speak. So in other words, what we speak, there's power in the things that we speak, and we will have those things that we speak. So with that knowledge, we need to ask ourselves, what are the things that are coming out of my mouth? Because a lot of times, we're not careful. We're not judicious in the things that we say. In fact, in our culture today, we're kind of trained and taught, whatever you think, whatever thoughts pop into your head, just say it and speak it. You know, with social media the way it is, we're kind of taught that, we're trained that we can and should just put forth anything that comes into our mind, put it out there. And so there's really very little filters that we have. And that's to our detriment. Because we're not careful, we're not judicious about the things that we say. We don't stop to think about the ramifications of what we say. Instead, we just speak things out as it pops into our head. We speak things out as we feel them. If there's an emotion we feel, we just speak it out. Sometimes that's not the most judicious way to handle our daily life. I know a lot of people are very careful, which we should be. Sometimes we think we're careful, but we need to just kind of monitor. My wife's very good at this because we both understand the power of the spoken word. The power of life and death is in the word. And my wife's very good at helping me in this area as well. Even though I'm careful with it, again, sometimes you just speak without thinking. And I don't want to speak certain things. I don't want to speak. If the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue, and we shall eat the fruit thereof, the power of life is in the tongue. So I can either speak life. Life is I'm speaking things that line up with the Word of God. I'm speaking His promises. I'm speaking good things. I can either speak those words of life, or I'm speaking death. I'm speaking words that are contrary to His promises. I'm speaking words that are contrary to His word. I'm speaking things that tear down and destroy. So by the words that I speak, I'm either building up or I'm tearing down. There is no middle ground. The words that come out of your mouth and my mouth, it is either lining up with the word of God and bringing those promises to pass, or bringing those concepts to pass, or bringing those things that are in the word of God to pass in our lives. Those very promises, I'm using those to build up and create life, or I'm speaking things that tear down and destroy. God gives life. The enemy is the one who destroys. So when I speak words of life, now think about this. If the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue, and we shall eat the fruit thereof. So the words that I speak either have life or death. So if I'm speaking words of life, I actually empower the Holy Spirit to move through those words that I spoke to bring those things to pass. Conversely, if I speak words that are death, words that tear down, words that destroy, words that are opposed to the Word of God, I actually give the enemy the authority to move through those very words and bring about those very things that I spoke. The power of the spoken word is so strong and so powerful, and we just give it, we're flippant with it. If you look in Galatians chapter 4, people ask, all the time, why did it take so long? If there was sin right away and God had a plan for redemption, why did He wait so many thousand years until Jesus came? Well, Galatians tells us, at the fullness of time, Jesus came. So what does that mean? Well, that means that God is not a man that He should lie. So if He gave to mankind, He gave man authority over the things of the world. And then man, through sin, through Adam and Eve's sin at the fall, they gave that authority and that dominion to Satan. So God's not a man that he should lie. You and I would say, wait, foul, that's not what I had intended. Didn't intend for Satan to have that power and authority and dominion. So we're going to do a do-over, and I'm taking that back. That's the way we would do it. But see, God understands that is imperative. And God is a man of his word. God speaks his word. If he speaks his word, it is. And he will never undo his word. And if he gave that dominion and authority to man, and then man chose to do something with it, he's not going to take that back. He gave it to man to do with what he wanted. And then for all those thousands of years, God knew that God is not a man that he should lie, to fulfill his word and to be true to his word, so that we know we can always trust fully the word of God. If he spoke it, it shall be. And so since man had given that dominion and authority over to Satan, God still had a plan for redemption, but it had to come through man. And so men had to speak. And that's why we have the benefit of reading through all the prophetic words that have been spoken in the Old Testament. And you can see all the words that had to be spoken, all the words about Jesus Christ. Once a man spoke them, then God could move through them. Now people say, whoa, 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 wait a second. That makes it sound like you're saying that God is limited in what he can do. God can do whatever he wants. Absolutely he can. God's not limited in any way. He is not limited in any way except for the way that he limited himself. And he limited himself by, if he said something, he's going to live by it. So he still had his plan of redemption, but he had to work through men and through the words of men. And men had to speak all of those things about Jesus Christ, all those prophetic words about Jesus that were said by so many different. And you can see different prophets saying different things about Jesus. They all had to be spoken so that God could move through those things to bring those things to pass. And in the fullness of time, when all those things were done, all those things were spoken, God brought Jesus into this world. That shows us the power of the spoken word. Now, with that understanding of the power of the spoken word, let's go back and think about what are the things that we say? What are the things that come out of our mouth? Because all too often, we're not careful with what we say. We're flippant in what we say. We need to understand, if you and I have a relationship, and I'm angry at you, and so I tell a third party all these terrible things about you, there's power in those words. Now, those words can't destroy you, but those words can put a yoke on you. Those words shackle you and shackle your life. You'll have to eventually break those yokes off by your words, by your authority, by using the authority of Jesus' name and you speaking those words. There's power in the words that we speak, and we're very flippant in the things that we say. And not just in the things that we say about others, even in the things that we say about ourselves. I know a person that understands the concept of everything I'm talking about, the power of life and death being in the tongue. And this person will tell you that and will catch others saying things that are contrary to the word of God. And yet they don't realize that they're continually themselves saying things and speaking things that are of fear or speaking things that are sometimes even contrary to the word of God and speaking even sickness on themselves and others. Now, they don't realize they're saying it because they're unchecked. I started to say at the beginning of this conversation that my wife is very good in helping me with this because I understand this concept. I'm teaching it. So I understand the concept. And yet it is easy for us, and I do this myself. It's easy when you're angry, when you're frustrated, when you're disappointed. It's easy to verbalize those things. And in verbalizing those things, I got to be aware, am I speaking life or am I speaking death? If I'm frustrated and I'm disappointed or I'm angry with a situation in life or I'm just frustrated because things aren't working out the way I'd hoped, or I stood on the word and I haven't seen the results yet, or whatever the case might be. Sometimes in that frustration, we then express that frustration and we say, this isn't working, or I have this here. Well, I'll give you another example in a second. So I'll say those things, and by those words, if those are words that are contrary to the word of God, I've just given the enemy an opportunity to move through those words to bring those things to pass in my life. We need to be careful about the things that we say. My wife many times has come to me, and she's heard me in frustration saying things, and she'll very gently say to me, this is what I heard you just say. And when I hear those words back, I hear that those are not words of faith. And I can hear those are words that I got to rebuke, that I have to let go of. So it's easy for us to fall into that, but it's even easier if we don't stop and realize the power of those spoken words. If we don't stop and realize just exactly how powerful those words are. I said I was going to tell you another story. There's another man that I know very well. This is a man of amazing faith. And yet sometimes I'll hear him say, it's just in those unguarded moments where we're not thinking, I'll hear him say things and speak things about his own body that as soon as he says it, I want to think, ugh. And I go and I pray, and I'll say something different just because I want to speak life. Where he has spoken destruction, I want to speak life. I want to contradict those things and speak life. There's power in the words that we speak, and we need to know that and remember that. Now, I've said all this to set up. I want to share with you, and I'll do this tomorrow. In the book of Job, and one of the fascinating things about the book of Job is, it is conversation. I mean, almost the entirety of the book of Job is conversation. It is words that are being spoken. And we see the words that are spoken by Job, and we see the words that are spoken by Job's friends. And there's a great contradiction in those words. And we see as we go through, as you read through the book of Job, you see the power in the words that are being spoken. You see the reality of it. Book of Job, if you go through it and read through it, just read through it in a day or a couple of days, you really see that the words that are spoken carry power, and there's a realization of the power in those words. And then, of course, we see the Word of God that is spoken as well. And what I want to do tomorrow is look at Job's friends, because Job has a couple of friends who, when they come to Job, they come, and when you read the start of Job, it says his friends come to him because their intention is to come and to bring consoling. They want to console Job because Job has just been hit with such terrible things. Their purpose is to console, to comfort, and to encourage their friend. But you find out that once they get there and conversation starts, all of a sudden, their conversation and their words are not comforting. It begins with accusation, and then it gets to the point where one friend is speaking in such bitterness, he takes away, by his words, he is removing all hope from Job. He came to give hope and consolation and comfort, and out of anger and bitterness of his words, he takes all hope away. And Job even holds his friends accountable for the words that they speak. And Job himself explains the damage and how words break. We need to be aware of the power of words and the words that we speak. Otherwise, we're going to wind up being, and we'll look at this tomorrow, but we're going to wind up being Job's friends to those around us. And Job's friends were not good friends. We want to make sure that we are not Job's friends. Job's friends were well-intentioned, but because they were not judicious with their words and they were not careful with their words and they let their emotions go and they didn't understand the power of their words, they actually were putting more hurt, destruction, and yokes upon Job, who's already bearing an awful lot. We want to make sure that we're not Job's friends to the people around us, but that we're also not Job's friends to ourselves, saying the wrong things about ourselves as well. It's the power of the spoken word. And we'll look at this a little bit further tomorrow in the book of Job.